The next morning, Sudama started for his home, thinking always about his reception by Krishna. Thus, he merged in transcendental bliss. All the way home, he simply remembered the dealings of Lord Krishna, and he felt very happy to have seen the Lord. The Brahmana thought, "It is most pleasurable to see Lord Krishna, who is most devoted to the Brahmanas. How great a lover he is of Brahminical culture! He is the supreme Brahman, yet he reciprocates with the Brahmanas. He also respects the Brahmanas so much that he embraced to his chest such a poor Brahmana as me, although he never embraces anyone to his chest except the goddess of fortune. How can there be any comparison between me, a poor sinful Brahmana, and the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the only shelter of the goddess of fortune? And yet, considering me a Brahman, with heartfelt pleasure, he embraced me in his two transcendental arms. Lord Krishna was so kind to me that he allowed me to sit on the same bedstead where the goddess of fortune lies down. He considered me his real brother. How can I appreciate my obligation to him? When I was tired, Srimati Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, began to fan me, holding the chamara whisk in her own hand. She never considered her exalted position as the first queen of Lord Krishna. I was rendered service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his high regard for the Brahmanas. And by massaging my legs and feeding me with his own hand, he practically worshipped me. Aspiring for elevation to the heavenly planets, liberation, all kinds of material opulence, or perfection in the powers of mystic yoga, everyone throughout the universe worships the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Yet, the Lord was so kind to me that he did not give me even a farthing, knowing very well that I am poverty-stricken man who, if I had gotten some money, might become puffed up and mad after material opulence and so forget him." The statement of Brahmana Sudama is correct. An ordinary man who is very poor and prays to the Lord for benediction in material opulence, and who somehow or other becomes richer in material opulence, immediately forgets his obligation to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord does not offer opulences to his devotee unless the devotee is thoroughly tested. Rather, if a neophyte devotee serves the Lord very sincerely and at the same time wants material opulence, the Lord keeps him from obtaining it. Thinking in this way, the learned Brahmana gradually reached his own home. But then he saw that everything was wonderfully changed. He saw that in place of his cottage, there were big palaces made of valuable stones and jewels, glittering like the sun, moon, and rays of fire. Not only were there big palaces, but at intervals there were beautifully decorated parks in which many beautiful men and women were strolling. In those parks there were nice lakes full of lotus flowers and beautiful lilies, and there were flocks of multicolored birds. Seeing the wonderful conversion of his native place, the Brahmin began to think to himself, "How am I seeing all these changes? Does this place belong to me or to someone else? If it is the same place where I used to live, then how is it changed so wonderfully?" While the learned Brahmin was considering this, a group of beautiful men and women with features resembling those of the demigods, accompanied by musical chanters, approached to welcome him. All were singing auspicious songs. The wife of the Brahmin was very glad on hearing the tidings of her husband's arrival, and with great haste she came out of the palace. The Brahmana's wife appeared so beautiful that it seemed as if the goddess of fortune herself had come to receive him. As soon as she saw her husband present before her, tears of joy fell from her eyes, and her voice became so choked up that she could not even address her husband. She simply closed her eyes in ecstasy. But with great love and affection, she bowed down before her husband. And within herself, she thought of embracing him. She was fully decorated with a gold necklace and ornaments. And while standing among the maidservants, she appeared like a demigod's wife just alighting from an airplane. The Brahmin was surprised to see his wife so beautiful, and in great affection, and without saying a word, he entered the palace with her. When the Brahmin entered his personal apartment in the palace, he saw that it was not an apartment, but the residence of the King of Heaven. The palace was surrounded by many columns of jewels. The couches and the bedsteads were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and jewels. And the bedding was as white as the foam of milk and as soft as a lotus. There were many whisks hanging from golden rods and many golden thrones with sitting cushions as soft as lotus flowers. In various places, there were velvet and silken canopies with laces of pearls hanging all around. The structure of the building stood on excellent transparent marble with engraving made of emerald stones. All the women in the palace carried lamps made of valuable jewels. The flames and the jewels combined to produce a wonderfully brilliant light. When the Brahmana saw his position suddenly changed to one of opulence, And when he could not determine the cause for such a sudden change, he began to consider very gravely how it had happened. He thus began to think. From the beginning of my life, I have been extremely poverty-stricken. So what could be the cause of such great and sudden opulence? I do not find any cause other than the all-merciful glance of my friend, Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Certainly, these are gifts of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy. The Lord is self-sufficient, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and thus he is always full with six opulences. He can understand the mind of his devotee, and he sumptuously fulfills the devotee's desires. All these are acts of my friend, Lord Krishna. My beautiful, dark friend, Krishna, is far more liberal than the cloud, which can fill the great ocean with water. Without disturbing the cultivator with rain during the day, the cloud brings liberal rain at night just to satisfy him. And yet, when the cultivator wakes up in the morning, he thinks that it has not rained enough. Similarly, the Lord fulfills the desires of everyone according to his or her position. Yet, one who is not in Krishna consciousness considers all the gifts of the Lord to be less than one's desire. On the other hand, when the Lord receives a little thing in love and affection from his devotee, he considers it a great and valuable gift. I am a vivid example of this. I simply offered him a morsel of chipped rice, and in exchange, he has given me opulences greater than those of the King of Heaven. When the devotee actually offers the Lord, that is not needed by the Lord, for the Lord is self-sufficient. If the devotee offers something to the Lord, it acts for the devotee's own interest, because whatever a devotee offers the Lord comes back in a quantity a million times greater than what was offered. One does not become a loser by giving to the Lord. One becomes a gainer by millions of times. The Brahmana, feeling great obligation to Krishna, thought, I pray to have the friendship of Lord Krishna and to engage in his service and to surrender fully unto him in love and affection, life after life. I do not want any opulence. I only desire not to forget his service. I simply wish to be associated with his pure devotees. May my mind and activities be always engaged in His service. The unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, knows that many great personalities have fallen from their positions because of extravagant opulence. Therefore, even when His devotee asks for some opulence from Him, the Lord sometimes does not give it. He is very cautious about His devotees, because a devotee is in an immature position of devotional service may, if offered great opulence, fall from one's position due to being in the material world. The Lord does not offer opulence to him or her. This is another manifestation of the causeless mercy of the Lord upon His devotee. The Lord's first interest is that the devotee not fall. The Lord is exactly like a well-wishing father who does not give much wealth into the hand of his immature son, but who, when the son is grown up and knows how to spend money, gives him the whole treasury house. The learned Brahmin thus concluded that whatever opulences he had received from the Lord should be used not for his extravagant sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. The Brahmana accepted his newly acquired opulence, but he did so in a spirit of renunciation, remaining unattached to sense gratification, and thus he lived very peacefully with his wife, enjoying all the facilities of opulence as the prasadam of the Lord. He enjoyed varieties of food by offering all the facilities of opulence, offering it to the Lord, and then taking it as prasadam. Similarly, if by the grace of the Lord we get such opulences as material wealth, fame, power, education, and beauty, it is our duty to consider that they are all gifts of the Lord and must be used for His service, not for our sense enjoyment. The learned Brahmana remained in that position, and thus his love and affection for Lord Krishna increased day after day. It did not deteriorate due to great opulence. Material opulence can be the cause of degradation and also the cause of elevation, according to the purposes for which it is used. If opulence is used for sense gratification, it is the cause of degradation. And if used for the service of the Lord, it is the cause of elevation. It is evident from Lord Krishna's dealings with Sudama Vipra that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very, very much pleased with the person who possesses brahminical qualities. A qualified brahmana like Sudama Vipra is naturally a devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Brahmano Vaishnava. A Brahman is a Vaishnava. Or sometimes it is said, Brahmana Panditaha. Pandita means a highly learned person. A Brahmana cannot be foolish or uneducated. Therefore, there are two divisions of Brahmanas, namely Vaishnavas and Pandits. Those who are simply learned are Pandits, but not yet devotees of the Lord or Vaishnavas. Lord Krishna is not especially pleased with them. Simply the qualification of being a learned Brahmana is not sufficient to attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only must a Brahmana be well qualified according to the requirements stated in scriptures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita, but at the same time, one must be a devotee of Lord Krishna. The vivid example is Sudama Vipra. He was a qualified Brahmana, unattached to all sorts of material sense enjoyment, and at the same time, he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of all sacrifices and penances, is very fond of a Brahman like Sudama Vipra. And we have seen, by the actual behavior of Lord Krishna, how much he adores such a Brahmana. Therefore, the ideal stage of human perfection is to become a Brahmana Vaishnava like Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra realized that although Lord Krishna is unconquerable, he nevertheless agrees to be conquered by his devotees. Sudama realized how kind Lord Krishna was to him, and he was always in trance, constantly thinking of Krishna. By such constant association with Lord Krishna, whatever darkness of material contamination that remained within his heart was completely cleared away, and very shortly he was transferred to the spiritual kingdom, which is the goal of all saintly persons in the perfectional stage of life. Shukadeva Goswami has stated that all persons who hear the history of Sudama Vipra and Lord Krishna will know how affectionate Lord Krishna is to Brahmana devotees like Sudama. Therefore, anyone who hears this history gradually becomes as qualified as Sudama Vipra and is thus transferred to the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 81st chapter of Krishna, entitled The Brahmana Sudama Blessed by Lord Krishna.
Someone to save me from my ups and downs, and there
pure emotion. I want to stop and thank you, Krishna. I want to stop. Hey, Krishna. How sweet it is to chant your name. How sweet it is to chant your name. I close my eyes at night, wondering where I'd be without you in my life. Everything I did was just a bore. Everywhere I went was like deja vu before. But you brighten up all my days with sound assurance in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, Krishna. I want to stop. Hey, Krishna. How sweet it is to chant your name. Hari Hari Ho. How sweet it is to chant your name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But you're better than me than I am to yourself. So now for me, there's simply nobody else. I wanna stop and thank you, Krishna. I wanna stop. Hey, Krishna. How sweet it is to chant your name. Hari Bol. How sweet it is to chant your name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How sweet it is to chant your name. Here chanting, chalk beads in my hand. Sitting here chanting, chalk beads in my hand. Why I'm feeling so offensive, I really don't understand. I'm a fallen soul, long way from home. I'm a fallen soul, a long way from home. I never feel blissful, everything I ever do is wrong. Let me be a little bit of dust at his lotus feet. Let me be a little bit of dust at his lotus feet. Cause if I don't get his mercy, my life will simply end in defeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you can't stop your sinning, why don't you chant the name? Said if you can't stop your sinning, honey, why don't you chant the name? 'Cause if you just stay in Maya, only got yourself to blame. Sitting here chanting, Japa beads in my hand. Said I'm sitting here chanting, Japa beads in my hand. Why I'm feeling so offensive, I really don't understand. Say goodbye to this body. Lord Krishna promises this, we'll get another chance. Everyone is eternal, we should not lament. We gotta be attached to our body, because it's temporary. You'll get another one when it's old and worn out. You should not lament, for the soul is like sunlight. The soul can dwell everywhere. The soul can never be withered. She's not slain when the body is. I don't wanna say goodbye to my body, thinking that life will end. Oh, let me take advice from Bhagavad Gita. I should not lament. The soul is never born, never dies. The soul is primeval. The soul is eternal and cannot wither, cannot be killed. I don't wanna say goodbye to my body, thinking that life will end. Oh, let me take advice from Bhagavad Gita. I should not lament. We should not lament. You should not lament.
Money drugs at your command, women in a cage. You
may be a businessman on some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you still have to serve somebody. Right you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might be a state trooper, you might be a young jerk. Maybe the head of some cable TV network. You may be rich or poor, you might be blind or lame. Maybe living in Santiago under a different name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might be a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns, or you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You might own a bankrupt bank, but you still have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You might be a rock and roll preacher preaching spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's hair. Serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might be a vegetarian, you might be a carnivore. You might belong to Weight Watchers, or you simply want to eat more. You might like to eat chapatis, or you might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor, sleeping in the king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And you can call me Tarantula, you can call me Nikki. Others call me D'Angelo, some just think I'm crazy. You may be a Christian, a Hindu or Jew. You may be gay or lesbian, but no matter who you do, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
So that's it for tonight. I'll keep you posted when we'll do this again.
Serve somebody.
Thanks for joining. May Krishna bless you and protect you.
Serve somebody.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.